Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean, when we first heard about this fire and Jay Leno, I know he issued a statement saying basically he was okay, but the more we hear about this, the more serious it sounds, doesn't it?
Yeah, the doctors came out yesterday, and they were giving updates on his condition. Jay Leno made it sound like it was nothing, and he's already had one surgical procedure, one skin graft, and now they're saying that he probably is going to need another by the end of the week. If you didn't hear, Jay Leno was pretty severely burned in a gasoline fire in his garage while he was working on some cars over the past weekend. Turns out that he's got burns not only on his hands, but also on the left side of his face. Doctors are saying that the burns are fairly significant, and they're going to take it one step at a time, that he is in stable condition, and that he remains in a burn center in the Los Angeles area right now.
Let's talk about the good deed from Aerosmith.
Yeah, this is always nice when you hear showbiz people doing something to help others. The rock band Aerosmith decided that they wanted to help some of the people who were affected by the hurricanes recently in Florida, Ian and Nicole. They donated two red community trucks to the Red Cross, 2023 Chevy Silverados that are currently in production. They donated a couple of them that will be used to transport hot meals to families. Of course, it's going to have the band's logo, Walk This Way, on the sides of the truck when they're done. Mm-hmm. But a couple of the members of the band are from Florida, so this is something, you know, which they feel very close to.
Good for them. We're hearing that Brendan Fraser will not go to the Golden Globes. How come?
This is an interesting story. I mean, it wouldn't have been a story in years past, because actor Brendan Fraser pretty much just, you know, disappeared from public view. But he's got a new movie that's going to be coming out that I haven't seen it yet, called The Whale. That is getting rave reviews at all the film festivals that have taken place so far this year. And he is very likely to be nominated for not only an Academy Award, but also for a Golden Globe. But Fraser says he's not going to go to the Golden Globes because he's not a hypocrite. And he said he has no love for the organization, the Hollywood Film Critics Association, that puts on the awards. And that he claims that he was groped by the former president of that organization in 2003. So he said he cannot in good conscience support this group in any way. The former president of that group said that the whole thing was just a joke. But Fraser took it seriously. And he claims that it was one of the reasons that he was blacklisted in Hollywood back then. That's maybe why he disappeared from the whole scene, that he couldn't get a job for anybody because he was complaining about this guy.
Interesting. This controversy surrounding one of the cast members from the Full House show, what's that all about?
Yeah, Candace Cameron Bure played DJ on the show, the oldest daughter on the show. She's gone on to do lots of different projects, but she became a mainstay on the Hallmark Channel in those, you know, romantic movies that they put out, the holiday movies, the romantic comedies. But over the years, Hallmark became much more inclusive in showing diverse kinds of couples and diverse kinds of romantic stories, including LGBTQ plus stories as well. So Bure decided because of that to move to a different channel, the channel that's called The Great American Way, where she says the stories there will be more traditional. The stories will not feature LGBTQ couples in their programming at all. This week in a Wall Street Journal article, Cameron Bure said that the Great American Family channel wants to keep the traditional family, the traditional marriages, all at its core. After she said that, she just was deluged by backlash of people saying that, you know, everybody wants to be included, that everybody should be included in under the big umbrella. And Bure is now saying she never meant to hurt anybody with her comments, and is blaming the media for this whole thing. It's the media's fault because the media reported what she said. So,
yeah, well, shame on us. Dean, who did we lose from a classic TV show?
Well, we lost the last surviving member of Hogan's Heroes.
Hmm.
He was actor Robert Clary, who played the French captive Corporal LeBeau in the World War II series. Now, Hogan's Heroes originally ran from 1965 to 71, but it's been on in reruns pretty much ever since. These are the guys that purposely got locked up in a Nazi prison camp so they could run their covert operations, you know, with tunnels and easily escape from the prison camp with the buffoonish Colonel Klink in charge, and Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing. who was, you know, supposed to be watching them for this whole time. Yeah. Ironically, this Robert Clary, who played a prisoner in a Nazi prison camp in real life when he was a young man, was a prisoner in Auschwitz.
Wow.
For 31 months. I never knew that.
Amazing.
But he was 96 years old. And one of my favorites on that show. We all have our Hogan's Heroes favorites, I guess.
Oh, sure.
But they're all gone now.
Anything new from Ticketmaster on this Taylor Swift mess?
No, Ticketmaster just wishes that it would go away, I think. It's been just nothing but a disaster for fans trying to buy tickets for Taylor Swift's upcoming tour, which will be at Soldier Field for three nights in this coming summer. It has been hours on the phone for people, hours waiting in line, crashing computer servers. And now government officials are getting involved in this. The Tennessee Attorney General says that antitrust violations could be an issue here for Ticketmaster because the company really has no competition in how tickets are sold, and customers were left with these outrageously high ticket prices and nothing to do about it. Senator Amy Klobuchar yesterday got involved. She's the chair of the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Competition Policy, Antitrust, and Consumer Rights, and she says that she's got concerns about the lack of competition for Ticketmaster as well, and the ticketing industry in general. And they all sound like they want to do something about this. Pearl Jam tried to do something about this with Ticketmaster years ago and failed. So I don't know what the answer is. I just keep thinking about what Garth Brooks does.
Yep.
When he sells tickets. It's one price, one ticket price, no matter what. I think it's like $90 for a ticket, something like that. And, if you know, it's really first come, first serve. If you get in early, you're able to get good seats. If not, you get, you know, the nosebleeds. But you're not paying through the nose through this. It's working perfectly well with Garth Brooks because he's a super, super uber star and can say whatever, you know, say and do whatever he wants with how his tickets can be sold. And Taylor Swift could do the same thing if she wanted to. Springsteen, there were some issues with Springsteen tickets also. Same thing. I mean, these artists also have to say, this is how I want to sell my tickets.
A lot of them could.
And make it easy for the fans. I talked to somebody here at the TV station this morning who waited for hours and hours and hours and hours the other day in this Ticketmaster mess and did actually get through and got tickets. Paid like $250 a piece for nosebleed seats.
Yeah.
And that's cheap compared to what some people paid.
I think this Taylor Swift debacle is kind of a tipping point for these out-of-control prices and hard-to-get tickets. And let's hope something changes.
Yep.
I'm very excited about this movie that's coming out about the Me Too movement. It looks great, the clips I've seen. And you talked to a couple of the stars from the film, didn't you?
Yeah, we talked to quite a few of the stars from this movie called She Said, which is the true story of how two New York Times reporters busted the story open that really kicked off the Me Too movement. The story of how Harvey Weinstein was taking advantage of people, sexually abusing people in order to get jobs. Nobody wanted to talk to these reporters. Nobody wanted to go on record. They were afraid because Harvey Weinstein was so powerful in Hollywood, but once somebody did, others did, and you know, the dam broke open, not only on the Harvey Weinstein case, but other instances of sexual abuse as well. Playing these two reporters in the movie are actress Zoe Kazan and two-time Oscar nominee Carey Mulligan, and they talked about it.
This story and the Me Too movement, as started by Tarana Burke, really gave people a forum to talk about these kinds of stories. It gave a place to have that cultural conversation, and it kind of put the spotlight on that conversation.
If this is happening to Hollywood actresses, who else could it be happening to? And I think that was the real incentive for them, that it was not about a man, one single man. It was about a system that was enabling this kind of thing. And if that system can exist here, where else can it exist? So in that sense, and obviously that there's what the article did, because it had so much publicity and attention, was, you know, the next day after it ran, Jodie and Meg were inundated with stories from all around the world, from all different walks of life, you know, people who were nowhere near the industry and in all different sort of professions and had experienced incredibly similar things.
Yeah, the movie is really quite good. I'll give you full review on it tomorrow, but it's called She Said, and it's opening only in theaters starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that movie Spotlight, which was fantastic.
Very much.
Can't wait. Thanks, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow.